What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We want to talk about it, and this is free. This is Free for All Friday, y'all. I straight up forgot what day of the week it was. I've done the preparation. I had a moment. We're going to talk about Free for All Friday. We've got Grace Friday. It's Free for All. That's pretty good. We've got a doozy lined up for you. Now, this is conceptualized. So in concept, it was designed to be a question and answer, but I don't pull a big enough audience to really do a really good question and answer. Maybe as we get higher and higher in our audience, then we'll have much more people in on a Friday to do a question and answer. Hello, Amanda Pratt, Scott Beck, Terry Crooks, Diana Harden, Reginald Perry. Who else? Make sure I'm not missing anybody. No, I think I got everybody. Good to see y'all. And so what I've done today is, obviously, I'm going to answer your questions. Like, this is, if you've got a question you want me to address, I will give you an answer, guaranteed to be an answer. You got me? Words are important. It's guaranteed to be an answer. It is not guaranteed correct. The answer might be, I don't know. And I will readily admit that. Hide and watch. Good morning. Good to see you. And I think I said Amanda Pratt. I'm not sure. If I didn't, I should have. But anyway, I do have some stuff lined up that I want to share with you. One of them I want to get started right in. I was scrolling through shorts, the little short videos on YouTube or Facebook or somewhere, and it was a Catholic priest. Now, it's really easy to beat up on the Catholics, okay? I do think that if we are going to set ourselves out as people who know the truth and have the truth, in other words, we're not seeking for the truth. We have the truth. We have the truth right here. It's in this book. If this is the only book you've ever had or you ever will have, y'all, it's enough. I promise you. You can spend eternity in heaven if all you have is this book and you read this book and you follow this book. All right. But it's easy to mess with the Catholics and make fun of them. But I think if we're going to set ourselves out as people who have the truth and aren't seeking for the truth, in other words, we're setting ourselves out as a kind of authority, we need to be honest with what they're saying. So I've always heard Catholics say, well, everybody accuses us of things. And one of the things is worshiping Mary. And this Catholic priest was talking about how Catholics need to be bold and you need to step up and talk about your Catholic faith. And whenever somebody says, are you a Christian? Say, I'm a Catholic. Like that's what the priest said. And then he said, you're going to get all kinds of accusations. And he listed a few, but then he said, they're going to tell you, and you people worship Mary and God's the only one that can be worshiped. And well, you know, we don't worship Mary, but we do venerate her. Okay. I don't want you to start thinking too highly of me, and I don't want you to be intimidated. I don't want you to be disenfranchised or disheartened by my intellectual prowess and privilege. But I own a thesaurus. Impressed? Oh, you should be. Yeah, a thesaurus. In fact, I've got a hardback thesaurus, and I've got access to Google, and I can type in venerate on Google thesaurus, or I can look it up in my hardback. Yeah, you better watch it now. This boy, he's edumacated. And I looked up what the word venerate means. I'm going to share something with you. I made this meme. There we go. Whoops, hold on. Catholics do not worship Mary. They venerate. And then another word for venerate is cherish, esteem, exalt, hallow, idolize, but they do not worship her. That's what the priest told me. And I know I was taking a little, that's right, sounds like the preacher privilege to me. That's it, buddy. Yeah, you know, I'm highfalutin. I got me a thesaurus. And the priest said that we don't worship Mary in the Catholic Church, but we do venerate her. And I looked it up and I'm like, you still got some problems. You still got some problems. I mean, idolize. Now, look, I get it, right? We need to interpret everything through a lens of love. And I get it. I fully concede the fact that it's possible the Catholics do not worship per se, as we understand the term worship, Mary. But that don't change the fact that they idolize her. They don't change the fact that they consider her in a different category than normal humans. They revere her. They do exalt her, which there's a biblical principle. You know, we need to give, it's in Romans 13, and it's actually, I believe, speaking more about government taxes and respect that comes from civil offices. But the general principle is we ought to give honor to whom honor is due, tribute to whom tribute. And I think Mary is worthy of some honor. I mean, I'm certainly glad she bore the precious Son of God, aren't you? But, well, let's just go to the scriptures and look at this. Ecclesiastes chapter, my bookmark was on Ecclesiastes from yesterday, whenever I was needing it to go to Ecclesiastes 8:11. But let's listen to this. I'm going to start reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all, and there is one event to the righteous and unto the wicked, to the good and unto the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. And the word evil there in the King James, there's a calamity. There's something that's calamitous. And it's common to everything under the sun. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of all the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. That's the event, folks. That's the event. You know, Bill Gates has got a lot of money. Bill Gates has got a lot of privilege. Bill Gates and Tony Brewer, they both have an appointment with death. And after that, the judgment. Verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Think about that. Think about if you needed an animal to guard your property. And let's say Scott Beck says, Tony, I understand that you train animals. Now, all this is pretend. None of this is real. This is just a for instance. Tony, I understand that you train animals. Well, yes, Scott, I sure do. Well, you know, I've got me a farm, and I need, I've got some valuables on that farm. And I would like the best possible animal to protect my farm. I'm like, man, it's a lion. Think about it. A lion doesn't even have to do anything. His very presence would scare off people. Oh, that's good. You got any lions? Well, what about a dog? Scott would say. Well, I do have lions and I have dogs. You know, a lion and a dog is both $10,000. Oh, really? Well, I'd rather have the lion. Well, there's a catch. The lion is dead. Well, obviously the dog is better. Now, if the lion were alive and the dog were alive, the lion would be better. But you see, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, think about to the Jews, to the Hebrews. A dog is unclean, dirty. A lion is something that is noble, fearsome, revered even. Think about the lion symbolism in theology. All right, verse 5. For the living know that they shall die. You know, that's why the people that are alive are better off than people that are dead, because there's still hope for the people that are alive, because they know they're going to die. But the dead, well, they don't know anything under the sun. I love this verse. The dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Folks, the context there is under the sun. Whenever I was a child, I used to be very anxious about, well, my grandmother died whenever I was in the fifth grade. And I wasn't always the bestest of little boys. I did mischief. And one of the things that I always thought about was, man, I can't believe I messed up again. And grandmama is, well, at the time, grandmama's in heaven and she's seeing what I'm doing. I can't believe it. And I thought, man, that's all those people that's gone on before that see me doing stupid stuff and the frustration that they must fear or they must feel not being able to warn me about it or me being such a disappointment to them. And then, of course, as I grew older, as I matured, I started studying and I was taught. And the context of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is that the dead do not know anything under the sun. Now, I fully believe that when I die, if the Lord lingers and I die on this earth and I go to paradise, I'm going to be able to see my grandmama. I'm going to be able to see my father. I'm going to be able to see some other people. And we're going to be able to catch up, and I'm going to be able to tell them some of the things I've done. I'm not going to tell them the stupid stuff because, you know, I don't want to. You know, I don't tell y'all the stupid stuff I've done in my life. I'm not going to tell them. But the point is, with Mary, the Catholics, while they might not worship her as we understand the term worship to mean, they do pray to her. Think about the Hail Mary. In fact, let me look this up. The words of the Hail Mary. All right. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Man, that is just full of all kinds of mess. Wait a second. Okay, this is msj.edu. I don't know what that is. Modern Catholic. Okay. This is an official Catholic site. Listen to this. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Does that sound like anything that God has authorized Christians to do through Scripture? Hail, Holy Queen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. Hail our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor, banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this vale of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate. Wow, I didn't know this. That's why we do Free for All Friday. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy towards us, And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus, O merciful, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Folks, if this ain't worship, I don't know what is. Do the Catholics believe that Mary is still alive? Scott Beck, you are asking the wrong person. They believe that she is in the realm of the dead, or she's in heaven, one. I do not know. I do not believe that they think that she is still alive. I don't know. I haven't. I mean, I have never Googled Marian, Marian prayers. So I don't know. But I know, turn then, most gracious advocate. I know there is only one advocate, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Folks, 1 John chapter 2, little children, let not that wrong, that's John 14. No, that's John. That's 1 John 3, little children, let no one deceive you. Come on, Tony, I need 1 John chapter 2. Little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It's not Mary. If I sin, I don't go to Mary. I go to Jesus. I don't need an intercessor between me and Jesus. Jesus is the intercessor between God and man. So, Scott, I don't know. I don't think they do, though. But it wouldn't surprise me. So, you see, I really want to be fair, and I want to be represent the doctrine that the Catholics teach adequately and accurately. So they do not worship Mary, I'll concede, but they do esteem her, they do exalt her, they do hallow her, they do idolize her. They don't worship her, but they do pray to her. They do ask her to intercede and advocate on their behalf. It's almost like, I was going to say, it's almost like they're putting her in the place of Jesus. But again, if I'm trying to be honest, I don't think they are. I just think they're adding something that God never authorized to add. All right. So moving on, I just thought you'd find that fun. Incidentally, I made that meme. I think it's awesome. I stuck in my thumb and I pulled out a plum and thought to myself, what a good boy am I. You got me? All right. I was told that since Mary is the mother of Jesus, she can convince him to do whatever she asks on our part. Facebook user, that's the sense that I get. That's the sense that I get. Whether that's true or not, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. But yeah, that's true that. All right, I want to try to share my screen. I've never done this before. Add a source, video storage, background music, local video. What? Oh, right here, share screen, my bad. All right. Now, y'all are going to have to help me out. Can you see that? No, I don't. I want to be. Well, no. All right. Can you see that at all? Or would it be better to do this? Hold on a second. Hold on. Nope. Right there. Would it be better to do that? Let me know in the comment section and I'll move it. So, this video on Christianity Now was published July 4th, 2023. And I say, oof, this is how you call out false teaching. This dude did pretty well. And it's a video by this one dude that he's calling out this scholar named Dan McClellan. Notice the guy's got tattoos on his face, got a hat on backwards. He's got prison tats. And he's talking about first, let me get the chats. He's talking about all the Sodom and Gomorrah and why the cities of the plains were destroyed. And this Dan McClellan guy says that it's because of inhospitality, when the scriptures clearly state, in fact, we'll go to Jude. So despite anything that you read anywhere else, you have to interpret those scriptures through the lens of the book of Jude, I think, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example of suffering and the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, the argument is this, and incidentally, y'all let me know whether or not I need to change the view so y'all can read this. The argument is that it wasn't homosexuality, it wasn't fornication that caused it wasn't only, I need my Urim and Thummim to read that. It may be, let me see if we can go, it still just ain't, I don't like this. I think it would be better. Anyway, we'll just deal with it. You'll see. So the argument from liberals is, well, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't destroyed for homosexuality or sexual sin. They were destroyed because they were going to rape the angels. That's that they were going after strange flesh. Well, what's the problem with that? Well, look at Jude 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about, folks, there were five cities of the plains, and they were destroyed all for the same reason. They gave themselves over to fornication, and they went after strange flesh. Now, I believe that the going after strange flesh part is apexegetical. It informs, it elaborates on the fornication. So it was for fornication, but specifically going after strange flesh, in other words, flesh that they were not supposed to go after. It has nothing to do with the supernatural. Why? The angels only went to one city, yet here, the going after strange flesh is attributed to all of the cities. That's the five. Why would God, the judge of all the earth who would do right, why would God destroy four cities for going after strange flesh that only happened in one city? So this is really a very stupid argument. But this guy, hold on a second. Yeah, this guy that you can see in the video here, he really dismantles this so-called Bible scholar. I mean, he really does a good job with it. But I want to read to you. Incidentally, this thing's got 956 comments, 1,300 shares, 4,900 interactions, and over 100,000 views, although I can't show you that here. Listen to this, all right? First off, I wonder if I can... Yeah, looky there. That's still not as good as it could be. But this dude... I'm just going to read this comment. The mystery of 666 has finally been revealed, how the Bible became the mark of the beast. The world has gone after the flesh rather than the spirit of the living God. Constantine, first beast, compiled 50 Bibles, legalized Christianity, and set up the false prophet, the Pope. King James, the second beast, born 61566, 6th of Scotland, authorized the Bible in 1611 that now has 66 books to control the people with. An image of God's word they make to speak, the Bible says. By having faith in this idol, they break the new covenant of having faith in the living Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, who is the Word of God. There are more Bibles in the world than there are people, yet the world only gets worse. More than 2 billion people say the Bible teaches them truth, but they all believe something different. Jesus came to fulfill the scriptures and to have the Holy Spirit sent into the world. The only way to eternal life is by the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. I hope the truth gives you the freedom to return to following God in the Spirit and that it frees you from the letter that kills. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Under the new covenant, the laws of God are written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, but men have rejected the Holy Spirit for written laws in a book. The Bible is the mark of the beast. It is only history about God. To know Him and to truly find salvation, you must seek Him in the Spirit, folks. That's the nuttiest thing I've ever read. That wins. And here's the thing. I want to be as loving and as generous here as I possibly can. Let's go to John chapter 17. And let's look at verse 20. Listen to this. I'm going to make a point really quickly. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall, that's 16:20. Hold on. 17:20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. In them, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Debbie Scroggins says, Tony, I agree with you. Scott Beck says, what drugs is he on? I don't know. There's a time in my life where I'd take a pocket full of them, though. Good grief. Anyway, so I will be as generous and loving with this person as I possibly can. He made a good point. There are more Bibles in the world than there are people, and the world just keeps getting worse. And every organization that claims Christendom claims to have the truth by following the Bible, and yet they all contradict. So in his view, the witness testifying that Jesus is the Son of God, therefore God is real, is incredulous. You see, that's what happens whenever there's dissension. That's what happens whenever there's a lack of unity. Psalm 133, how sweet and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like oil that runs down even upon the precious beard of Aaron, on the head and on the beard. And it's like the dew that runs down from Harmon, Mount Harmon. Harmon? Anyway, go read Psalm 133. This is why, like whenever Kyle Butt debates an atheist, look, man, Kyle, I know you don't listen to my podcast, but I'm your biggest fan. Get out there and do it. But you're going up against insurmountable odds. Because if I'm the atheist, all I have to do to win the debate is, hey, the Bible's not true. Well, why is the Bible not true? Because there's no unity. The witness that Jesus is the Son of God, that the witness that testifies that Jesus is the Son of God, is the unity of the believers. And from the perspective of the world, all of the believers are disunified. Ergo, therefore, Jesus is not the Son of God. Subsequently, consequently, God cannot be real. I get it. I mean, it's that's why we must preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine, because the time, I believe, has come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own desires or lust, heaping themselves teachers having itching ears, folks. I feel like Billy Mays. But wait, there's more. Now, I say, LOL, this has got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever read on the internet. And that's saying a lot. Oof, good grief. And then he gives us two more jewels. We're going to read them. The people in the Bible never had Bibles. The Bible's the greatest idol ever created. It's the image that speaks that there's thousands of Christian denominations. Everyone reads the Bible. You all say you have the Word of God. Who knows what God's saying? Everyone teaches something different. It's a complete delusion. You're blinded. You don't love the Holy Spirit. You love the Holy Bible. You know what, big boy? I'm not sure we're commanded to love the Holy Spirit expressly. I think it's just understood. If you love God, you love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I think sometimes we do idolize the Bible if we don't watch it. But there's some nuance there, and it certainly isn't like what you're talking about. All right. The Bible is the history of Holy Ghost. People, Satan took that history and compiled it into a book, made millions of religions. And it's in the image that, and it's the image that speaks, and he controls it. The funny thing is, this image that speaks, that is a reference from the Bible. Like, you're saying the image that speaks, and the only way you know about the image that speaks is from the Bible, yet you're saying the Bible is the image that speaks. You realize how foolish that is? All right. You don't like it because I destroy your little idol. Everyone that says the Bible is the Word of God blasphemes the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? Everyone that says the Bible is the Word of God blasphemes the Holy Spirit. Even your own Bible tells you Jesus is the Word of God, and you don't have the right Jesus story anyway. He was a divine master. Incidentally, if we don't have the right Jesus story, who's going to give it? How do I know you have the right Jesus story without a written codification of the new covenant? Well, in fact, we do know we have the right Jesus story. In fact, I even think that people that are antagonistic to the cause of Christ, who are honest biblical scholars, which sounds like a weird oxymoron, but it's true. Even people that are antagonistic to the cause of Christ, scholar and from their academic perch on high, they concede the fact that what we have is what the apostles wrote down. What we have is what the authors wrote down. So we have witnesses that testify of the Jesus story. So I would rather listen to the witnesses than listen to you. Because you say that you have some kind of esoteric is not the right word. You have some kind of occultish knowledge that's given to you by miraculous power. The problem is you can't prove it. If you had the true Jesus story, you would be able to verify or signify that story with a miracle. He never died for anyone's sins. He was never sacrificed on the cross. That's a lie. He called everyone to love, never hurt animals, never eat animals. Hurt living things, and every time you hurt something that is living in this world, you're hurting God. God consists of everything that exists. Well, this dude thinks he's special. This dude thinks that, I mean, all he is, he's a materialist. The Bible speaks of the Stoics who followed Zeno, and they talk about God. They talk about God with a capital G. But when they speak of God, they're speaking of the material universe. You probably eat meat because you're a vampire cannibal. Your modern form of Christianity is a lie. God has nothing to do with animal or human sacrifice. God has nothing to do with eating flesh and drinking blood like they told you Jesus said. Well, the funny thing is, Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and it was metaphorical. He wasn't being serious, or well, he was being serious, but he wasn't being literal. Jesus taught that if you know yourself, you will know God. Oh, there it is. There it is. It boils down to self-idolatry. The kingdom of heaven is within you. The churches and religions connected him with the Old Testament deity. He told them, you are of your father, the devil. He had nothing to do with the Old Testament. Jesus never had anything to do with the Old Testament God, and he never died for anybody's sins. That's a lying teaching that leaves 99.9% of the population out. I have no idea how that leaves 99.9% of the population out. Whenever the New Testament literally says, now, let's pretend like it's all a lie. If you follow the New Testament, you're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So how does it leave 99.9% of the population out? Christians are delusional, brainwashed people with no understanding, unfortunately. Truth! There was a man labeled Christ. His life record from 13 to 29 disappears. He was in India studying and learning with the monks. That's how he did the miracles. He was God just as much as you are God. Well, that sounds like Gnostic doctrine. He taught God, and the kingdom of heaven is within us. Know yourself and you will know God. Walk in love and all the creation. Don't eat animals. Eat fruits and vegetables. Don't kill animals, since we all are connected and everything is one. Every time you hurt someone or something, you are hurting the Creator. God consists of all consciousnesses and everything that is. How do you know that? Unless you've been given some kind of miraculous power. And then if you're tasked to teach me this, how do you prove it? The greatest gift is put in is the greatest gift is put himself inside of everyone. So the only person that could ever miss God is the one who doesn't know himself. And again, my reply, LOL, it just keeps getting dumber. Wow, what foolishness. Insert cuckoo clock images here. Absolutely. All right. Let me stop sharing this screen. Let me get my fancy mancy overlay back on. So y'all remember Substack, $5 a month. Subscribe to YouTube. Subscribe to Rumble. Follow us on Facebook. All that good stuff. Let me look at the comments here. Yeah, the Holy Spirit told me that he is. I'm going to die. The Holy Spirit told me he's wrong. Well, the Holy Spirit told me he's right. I guess somebody needs to prove what they're saying with a miracle, don't they? Debbie Scroggins. And they were guided by the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, the original. Yeah, okay. Terry Crooks. So he received divine inspiration through his thoughts rather than solely from the scriptures. Despite growing up together, family still struggles to find unity. Terry, that's a good point. Here's the thing. I remember, and we're not supposed to quote our teachers from school from our notes, but I'm not. I didn't write this down, so I'm quoting it from memory. I believe verbatim, Keith Mosier said of John 17:20 and following, that people accuse Christians of not being unified, therefore Jesus' prayer has never been answered to this day. The problem is that Christians are unified. Just Abraham Lincoln, it is purported that to a group of law students, Abraham Lincoln is purported to have said, purported to have said, if you count a cow's tail as a leg and consider a cow's tail one of its legs, how many legs does a cow have? To which, almost unanimously, the students replied, five. To which Abraham Lincoln said, wrong. It doesn't matter what you call it or what you consider it, it's still a tail, and cows only have four legs. It doesn't matter what you consider yourself or what you call yourself. A Christian is a person who has obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered, being then delivered from sin, they become the servants of righteousness. And then, of course, you've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. For scripture reference, Romans 6, 17 and 18, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. So I get it. There's a lot of religious and spiritual confusion out there. There's only one place to get the answers. Again, Facebook user, I'm not sure who you are, but you might win. Oh no, that's Scott Beck. Scott Beck says, insert cuckoo clock images here. Am I going crazy? Urim and the Thummim. Yeah, that was a good comment, by the way. But I thought that was Facebook user, but it was Scott Beck. Anyway, Scott Beck, you win the live stream. I'm sorry, Facebook user. I repeal your title of Facebook comment champion for Free For All Friday. Scott Beck has now claimed the title. All right, let's just get on a serious note. Some are saying that God of the Old Testament, is totally different than the New Testament. Bipolar, killing children, even calling him a tyrant, etc. The New Testament is all about love and grace. Yeah, that's sadly, you're right. But it's not true, is it, Ben? Y'all, I feel like there was a third thing, but I think that's enough, isn't it? Folks, that's just crazy. Let me go back here to this dude's comment in the very first one. All right, the mystery of 666 has finally been revealed. How the Bible became the mark of the beast. Here's the deal. Without the Bible, you wouldn't know what the mark of the beast is. You wouldn't even know that there was a mark of the beast. The world has gone after the flesh rather than the spirit of the living God. Well, that language is used by the Bible. So you wouldn't even have vocabulary to talk about this without the Bible. Constantine, the first beast, compiled 50 Bibles, legalized Christianity, and set up false prophet Pope. That's false. King James, the second beast, blah, 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 blah. All that stuff's false. By having faith in this idol, they break the new covenant of having faith in the living Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, who is the Word of God. Now listen, this dude talks about the living Jesus Christ, but yet he says Jesus Christ never died and was resurrected. He never sacrificed himself on a cross. If that's the case, then calling him living wouldn't make a difference. Like, the fact that you call him living is to juxtapose the state of being designated as living with the opposite state of being in which Jesus existed for 3 days. He was dead for 3 days. He was not living for 3 days. So he was living, then he was not living for 3 days and nights, and then he was living again. And that's what makes him special. Well, that's one of the things that makes him special. But his own language totally destroys him. There are more Bibles in the world than people, yet the world only gets worse. Well, there's more soap in the world than people, and yet people still get dirty. And in fact, people get dirtier and dirtier because there are some people that refuse to use soap. More than 2 billion people say the Bible teaches them truth, but they all believe something different. Again, that fact doesn't change whether or not the Bible is true. Jesus came to fulfill the scriptures and to have the Holy Spirit sent to the world. I do not believe Jesus came to have the Holy Spirit sent to the world. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I believe that that falls under a different category than purpose. However, Jesus did come to fulfill the scriptures. Let's see one of the scriptures that Jesus came to fulfill. Y'all know where I'm going. Isaiah. We're just going to read this real quick. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we have hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before their shearers. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. What do you think it means? He was cut off out of the land of the living. Incidentally, this ain't talking about the Jewish people. You know how I know? Because of verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The Jewish people have suffered a lot of afflictions over which they have never been silent. This is talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant be just, shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Folks, Jesus came to fulfill the scriptures. Well, that is one of the scriptures that he fulfilled. He died. He died. All right. But he lived again, so don't worry. And that's it, Debbie Scroggins. Without the Bible, this man wouldn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. And Scott Beck says, he sounds like he's wrapped up in the Holy Spirit to the neglect and misunderstanding of God and the Father and Jesus the Son, of God the Father and Jesus the Son. Absolutely. Most don't study for themselves, following falsehoods. Yep. Well, folks, that's all I've got. I wanted to share this with you. I really appreciate everybody tuning in. I would like to draw your attention to the links that I put in the comment section. One of them is for a short that I put out. The short is called Racial Profiling in New York City Subway Random Bag Checks. And it got 454 views overnight. That's really good. Go to the YouTube channel and check out the shorts. Just watch them. Double tap the screen while you're watching it so to give it a like. And then even put a comment. That would be great. That would help the YouTube algorithm. And it don't take very long. You can also... In fact, I tell you what, we'll take this right now. Oh, where does the concept of three wise men originate? I think it's because of the gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. I really think that's where it came from. I could be wrong. Somebody that knows more about that and done more research into it than I have might correct me on this. But I think if you slice it with Occam's razor, because I mean, like, there's an interesting concept about the rule of three. Three is a holy number. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three is the amount of times that it takes a human being to witness something before they see a pattern, typically. Three times is the amount of times something occurs before it's considered to be a habit or a pattern. Three times you need to do something before it's considered a habit. With a persuasive speech, you want an introduction, a body, and a conclusion, which is three parts. But in your body, you want 3 points. What else would be the rule of three? I mean, the rule of three is it's very interesting. Google it sometimes. Be careful; you'll dive off into crazy conspiracy theory nonsense. But I think we just gravitate to this idea of three, and gold, frankincense, and myrrh is 3 gifts. So obviously, there's 3 wise men. And that's as far as silly things that people believe about the Bible that isn't actually backed up by the Bible. That's one of the more innocuous things. And I didn't read your comment in its entirety. The scriptures do not specify the exact number of wise men. You got it. Is it because of the gifts given to the baby Jesus? I think so. Sorry, I was a little keyed up and excited. I should have read your entire comment. Anyway. But yes, I believe so. Now, let me share the screen again. Come on, Tony. Share screen. No, yeah, stop sharing screen. I want to share screen. And I want to share this. All right. Now, I don't know how many of y'all can see that, but let me get here. We're going to zoom, zoom, zoom. Now I'm going to look and see if I can see what y'all see. Yeah, there we go. Now check this out. Now this is what I see. You can see this as well. This is Christianity Now Streams on YouTube. And if you will go here to podcast and see how there's 175 episodes, if you hit this button, it says play all. Now what will happen is, you've got yesterday's episode, Punishment and Evil Doers, which incidentally has been viewed 27 times, which is just neat to me. And you can set this up on your desktop or laptop computer and walk away, and it will play all 175 episodes, which go all the way back to the very first one, Must We Forgive? And that's got 10 views. Yeah. And I don't know when it was uploaded. But anyway, I'm gonna pause that. But you could really help us out. You could really help us out by letting your desktop sit there and listen to that stream of podcast, and it builds up our watch time hours. It gives us ratings and rankings in the algorithm, and it don't cost you a dime. Scott Beck, 3 is a magic number, and it was one of the Schoolhouse Rock songs that taught me my times tables. Yeah, ain't that weird? Also, how many beans were there in Jack and the Beanstalk? Did he not trade for 3 magic beans? Or, if you look at the artwork associated with that fairy tale, at least in the artwork in the fairy tale, it's 3 beans. Incidentally, whenever we were growing up and we were doing, I was helping my uncles and stuff as a little bitty child doing row crops and stuff. And my grandmother was out there, had like 5 acres of strawberries. Then there was watermelon and stuff like that. Whenever we would plant watermelon, my cousin would go in front of me and he had to stop. He would stick it down in the ground and he would push forward, push back. And I would come in behind him. Now, one person can do all this, but we were 3 kids about 6 or 7 years old. So he would stop in the ground, twist, and I would go behind him and I would drop in 3 seeds of watermelon. And then another cousin would walk and they would step on that hole and we would plant watermelon seeds like that. 3. Why 3 watermelon seeds? I don't know. But 3. You're going to be find it weird how many times 3 pops up. The oldest reference to the 3 wise men is the Catholic Accepta Latina Barbari. Well, that's pretty cool. And again, I have no idea why it's 3 other than it's probably because of the rule of 3 and the fact that there are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right. So I have tasked each and every one of you with a task. Please, if it is at all possible, go and do that with the Christianity Now streams there. Let me click on it. There we go. Now go to podcast and then do the play all and just let her rip tater chip. Also, if you go to shorts, you'll see all my shorts here. And some of them do pretty good. 456 views. This one didn't too good. This one didn't do too well. The absurdity of double standards. Lingerie versus whatever. It's 19 views, 188 views, 114. But then you got 424. This one didn't do well. What I have found is the shorts do better if you only post them on YouTube. So from now on, when I put shorts and when I make videos that are 60 seconds or less, I'm only going to put them on YouTube because we've got to up this. We've got to get 500 subscribers and we have 187 right now. All right, folks. That's all I've got for you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Scott Beck. We really appreciate you. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations powered by Christianity Now. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Remember, for questions or show ideas, let me put this up on the screen. Christianity Now streams on YouTube. Comments are easier on YouTube. That's not what I meant to put up right here. For show ideas and questions, send an email. ChristianityIsNow@gmail.com. ChristianityIsNow@gmail.com. And I'll get your email and we can have a show. Good to see you. Thank you so much, Amanda Pratt. And this has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. Remember, $5 a month on Substack or a free subscription on Substack. Christianity Now streams on YouTube. Don't forget Rumble and Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. We would love for you to follow us on Podbean, subscribe there or Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, or Spotify. And you can get the archives to all this audio. God bless you. And folks, we'll catch you on the flip side.